John and Saul while walking along, a lame man begging alms by the gate. Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a crippled was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things.
And a very pleasant good evening to you on this Thursday. It is 12/12/2019, and some a lot of folks were playing off of that number, including not Dunkin' Donuts, but Krispy Kreme. Yeah, it was 12/12. Buy the first 12 normal price, get the second 12 at a dollar. And then at 12/12 this morning on 12/12, the cold moon, the last full moon of the year, occurred. So kind of an interesting day today with numbers, and numbers are unique, to say the least, in a lot of things, including the Bible. So yeah, it's good to be with you, Pastor Walton, in for Pastor Barton on this Thursday. It's been a beautiful day. It's going to change, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But right now we want to say thank you to some folks for sponsoring FM 94.9 of the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching, music, and the video channels. Sponsored today by Michael and Jill Whitlock in honor of Jill's parents, Vaughn and Janice Bryson's wedding anniversary. And we say thank you to the Whitlocks today for sponsoring the day today on the network. And we say congratulations, happy, happy anniversary to Vaughn and Janice Bryson. Pray you've had a wonderful day. Happy birthday wishes going out to Hope today. And Aaron Kemp turned one. And I can remember all my kids and grandkids on those first birthdays. The only birthday they can put their whole hand and fist into the cake and get away with it. So, yeah, there you go. We got 13 days until Christmas. How about that? It's getting closer and closer with each day that we come by. And we had today, let's see here, where my observations went. There we go. High of 48, the low was 22 with no precipitation so far today. Let me just jump out before we get into the forecast and let you know where the precipitation is. The major bulk of it is in Georgia. Now, there's some in South Carolina down off the coastline of Charleston area, inward into Barnwell County, down in there, Beaufort, Walterboro. And then in Georgia, some pretty heavier showers in Thompson, Columbus, Americus, just north of Tifton. The Atlanta area, just kind of the southern west part of it's got some. So, yeah, we got a little bit having coming. Let me just see if I can put this into motion. And it is coming up from the Gulf at an angle of from the south. North-northeast is the way it's coming. So it's going to overcome into the mountains. It's a mild batch right now. I'm going to back out a little further. And there's a big batch right now down in the area of Louisiana and Mississippi, Mobile, Alabama area. And there's a batch in Florida as well. This Gulf moisture is going to head our way. Right now in the mountains, the closest we're getting, if you're familiar where Dahlonega, Georgia, Helen, Georgia is, and the low, the kind of where you're coming up into the Blue Ridge there, that's got some rain kind of coming to it, very light and not much. So they're predicting between, let's go to the actual regular forecast here for our area, and they're actually did moderate this a little bit with we do have the updated that I usually haven't been getting. They're still seeing a chance of freezing rain between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. then rain or freezing rain likely with increasing clouds. They're calling for the low around 32. Now, at Swap Shop time, this forecast said 30. So they have moderated that by 2 degrees higher. That's good. Chance of precipitation, 60%, little or no ice accumulation expected at that point. Friday, rain, high near 44, east, south, east wind, 5 to 7. Chance of precipitation goes up to 80%, and they're calling rain. So that's the actual forecast. And then rain continues throughout the day, Friday night, and into Saturday, mainly before 9 a.m. And then the temperatures Friday are supposed to be a high near 44. And Saturday near 49. So it looks like we're going to be okay. What's the lows Friday night here? Low around 40. So that's good. So it's just, where's it going to get tonight? Now, like I said, they moderated it up 2 degrees. I'm going to go to a model that I've been following. And they're still showing 33 degrees starting at 12 midnight. And running through 2 a.m. Then they show it coming up. We'll have to see if that actually holds to fruition. Now I'll go to Hendersonville, and we'll go into Thursday night. And let's go to midnight and see where we're at. We're at 33 down through about the 4 a.m. hour, and then to 34. So, yeah. It's just going to be one of those things we're just going to have to wake up and see what we got and pray it's not too bad. I do want to read this. This is a winter weather advisory. It's not a warning. It's an advisory. But that's because they believe that a coastal low pressure is going to interact with the cold and dry air mass that's coming across the mountains tonight. So they're believing that there'll be spots where the temperatures will fall below freezing. And so that would lead to freezing rain with light ice accumulations occurring. Now, this is a wide swath of places that in these places could have pockets that are different. And Avery, Alexander, Iredale, Davie, Yancey, Mitchell, Buncombe, Catawba, Rowan, Southern Jackson, Transylvania, Henderson, Cleveland, Lincoln, Gaston, Caldwell Mountains, Greater Caldwell, Burke Mountains, Greater Burke McDowell Mountains, Eastern McDowell, Rutherford Mountains, Greater Rutherford Polk Mountains. That's the area of the extent of what they're saying. Now, the weather advisory will go into effect from 9 p.m. tonight till noon tomorrow for the possibility of freezing rain in places that could have ice accumulations up to a tenth of an inch, especially portions of the Piedmont and western North Carolina. This includes areas along and east of the Blue Ridge Escarpment, the I-40 corridor, and the northernmost suburbs of Charlotte. Now, when we talk about the escarpment, the eastern escarpment, let me start in the northern part of the escarpment. You're talking Kings Creek. You're talking just below Blowing Rock, Nebo, Marion, West Marion. That is the northern part of the Blue Ridge Escarpment on the east side. Coming to the central part, Lake Lure, okay, the Green River Game Lands, Edneyville, Bat Cave, Old Fort. That is the Blue Ridge Escarpment on the central part of the east side. Then the southern part of the east side, which is actually a little bit, kind of curves on it a little bit, we're looking at the DuPont State Forest, the Mountain Bridge Wilderness area, Rocky Bottom, Rosman, Dunn's Creek, and those areas going up into Rosman, Lake Toxway, Sapphire, Cashers, Highlands, that upslope into those areas. This is the area that along that escarpment where it can get trapped in. So keep that in mind, and we'll just have to see what it's going to land when we get there. But I was kind of happy to see that they moderated it up. The more we can keep the temperature above the freezing mark, the better it's going to be. And hopefully that will occur. If it drops, 30, 29, 28, then you're going to get it sticking in more places. And regardless, if there's any amount of freezing rain, just beware bridges and overpasses, ice over first. Okay, the road may be fine, but you will hit the bridge and you'll find it slippery. You will find that it'll catch on limbs, freeze on power lines and branches, leaves, that if there's any leaves left. So be careful, because ice and storms and freezing rain, those limbs come down, and now a limb's bad enough on its own. It can kill you if it hits you. But with ice, the weight level and the force is incredible. So we want to be very careful there. And then, of course, we're hoping, they're saying that they're thinking power outages will be minimal. And I'm praying that that is the case, that it will be minimal. So we will see. Lord willing, if the power stays on here, we will be looking at everything in the morning around 4 a.m., getting ready for the 6:30 newscast on WGCR-FM and the app and all, until we come on live at 7:30 in the a.m. So that is what we're going to do, and we'll keep our eye to the sky. Let's take a look at the traffic situation, and let's start. Goodness, you hope it gets better, but it doesn't. All right, let's start up in Weaverville. And if you're headed towards Weaverville, a little bit of a slowdown there on 26. But if you're coming up towards the Montfort area to Woodfin, towards the Business 19, 26 split, that is all slowed down through there. 240 in both directions from the junction of the new 26 headed east. The eastbound lane is slow going to, let's see how that, is that Martin Luther King the overpass there? I believe it is. And then coming back the other way from Tunnel Road, it's backed up all the way to 26. Now, the Jeff Bowen Bridge, both directions, has a slowdown on it. It gets even slower both directions right at the junction of alternate 74 and 240. That is also Patton Avenue as well. Then we're looking at some road problems in the area of the downtown core, especially Patton Avenue and College Street. And when you're coming up Hendersonville Highway, Hendersonville Road, and you go under I-40, if you're familiar with this area, there is a slowdown right as you come to the cloverleaf, and it's going to be a pretty significant one, probably about 3 miles an hour or so through there. It'll get a little bit faster by one of the restaurants there, the steakhouse, that Texas Steakhouse there, and then it's going to stay that way until you get to the split. And if you know what I mean by the split, 25 goes one way, McDowell Street goes the other towards Mission Hospital. One goes on one side of the complex, and one goes on the other side of the complex. The right side, which is Biltmore Avenue, that is really slow going in both directions. So Swannanoa River Road headed westbound. So quite a mess today. Now let's go to 26, Malfunction Junction. It is definitely malfunctioning. Coming off of 40 on to 26, coming off of 240 on to 26, coming off of 40 the other direction. All entrances into 26 at Malfunction Junction are backed up. So pretty backed up, fact, for quite a bit now. I do know that exit 40, and it's not 6 o'clock yet, so it hasn't happened yet. But at 6 o'clock tonight, exit 40 on I-26 westbound, the right lane will be closed at 6 o'clock. So that's going to make this mess worse. Now, when you come off of Malfunction Junction, you're going to stay slowed down for about a mile, and then it's going to speed up, but only to about 40 miles an hour. And then when you pass Brevard Road, it's going to slow down again all the way till you cross the French Broad River. Now, 26 coming back the other direction, we're going to go down to north of the airport, and 26 is slow going from just north of the airport all the way past Long Shoals underneath the Blue Ridge Parkway. Picks up for a little bit, then it slows down again till you cross the French Broad River. So that is slow going. 25, Hendersonville Road from Overlook Road, both directions to Biltmore Forest. That's a mess. Sweeten Creek Road, about the same juncture, but just over on Sweeten Creek Road from Mills Gap to the Blue Ridge Parkway. We've got issues there. And Avery's Creek 191 has got issues. So, yeah, driving right now is not good up in that area. Let's go down into Hendersonville and outside of Four Seasons Boulevard from Dana Road, just about to the edge there of the just before you cross over the bridge to go into the Walmart side. That's pretty slow going there, but everything else is looking good. I-26 in that area is actually looking good as well. And then as we take a look at 64, we don't see too many problems. And into Brevard, downtown's got a few little spottiness, but not bad. So it doesn't look too bad there. So there's your traffic. And boy, I tell you what, I hope we get any ice because that'll add a whole lot more disaster to that. So, but we'll see what happens. Will, it's good to be with you again. And as we have been looking for this week, and we'll continue today and one more time tomorrow. Looking at this verse, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. We talked yesterday about the word wonderful, that he's wonderful in his birth, wonderful in his life, wonderful in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Wonderful. And we looked at the fact that he is the counselor. And when we were looking at the counselor, we were looking at the, you know, what kind of counselor would you want? Well, we would want someone that was cautious, that was confident, that was complete. We would want someone that was close and accessible, confidential, compassionate, cognizant of our needs, capable and able to communicate. And of course, we looked at the fact that the Word of God is there, and the Word of God is our advice. He guides us into all truth. He teaches us all truth. He brings it back to our memory, and he will continue to do so in his guidance because he loves to guide us and when we want to be guided. And the Bible says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, we looked at wonderful, and we looked at counselor. Well, now we look at the name Mighty God, El Gibor, and it means God's strong hero. And the word mighty, the mighty God, God is Elohim. But when we look at this word Gibor, it's translated mighty. It's translated champion, mightiest, strong man. It is quite a powerful word. And it means to be strong, to prevail. And it is a very strong word of might and power. Our God is strong, and he is God. Now listen to how strong he is. Above him, there is none else. Think about that. Above him, there is none else. There's nobody higher than God. Nobody. The Supreme Court for Bible believers, okay, the Supreme Court for Bible believers is, my friend, God. Above him, there is none else. Now, if you read through the Bible and you look at the verses that say this, you will see that it says it many times. For instance, Deuteronomy 4:35, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Nobody mightier. No one's going to take his place. No one's going to overrule his throne. Satan tried. It didn't happen. He was cast out. And then one day he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse number 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45, 14, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchants of Ethiopia, the Sabaeans, the men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall shine, and they shall come after thee, and change, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. Now, the Bible makes it very clear there that these people are going to say, there is no God. They're going to say, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. But then they turn around and deny the one they believe they have. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You getting it? I mean, if God says this over and over and over again, then he wants us to understand. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God. There is none like me. What a verse. What a mighty God we serve. What a powerful God we have. Therefore, we can rest in his might and power. We do not have to panic. We have the mighty God. He is the mighty God. He is powerful and mighty enough to mend your broken heart. Are you dealing with a broken heart? He has the power to fix a broken heart. I love the verse, and it occurs a couple, two or three times in the Psalms. Oh God, my heart is fixed. God can fix a broken heart. He's big enough to move your mountains. Those problems that come in your way, in your life, the tribulations of life, he's big enough to move those mountains. If you will just stay in his will, he'll take you through the trials and he'll move the tribulations out of your way. You just got to remember, look for the off ramp. Don't go ahead steam on your own. Let God guide and you will be in good shape. He is big enough. He is mighty enough. He is capable enough to mend your broken heart, to move your mountains. He's big enough to mold your life. He's big enough to mold you. And you know, the Bible makes it very clear that he wants to mold you because he wants to do something. He wants to make you like Christ. He wants to fashion you like his son, Jesus Christ. He wants to mold you. Now listen, the Bible makes that very clear. And I want to just read you some verses here to remind you that he's not only big enough, but he's powerful enough and he's willing. This is what he wants. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He determined beforehand that those that he knew would trust Christ as Savior, that he would conform them, fashion-like. That's what the word means. Conform, make the image of, to cut away that which doesn't look like him, to be conformed, to be fashioned like the image of his son or the likeness of his son. He wants to make us look like Jesus Christ. He wants us to look like his son. So he said he determined in his heart he would conform us to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he says this to us because he wants us to know that he wants to take everything out that doesn't look like him. Have you ever seen the sculptures that people do? And they'll make this big animal. They'll take a big, humongous piece of log, and they'll make a seal or an elephant or some amazing looking animal out of that crazy thing. Maybe even a bear, a big bear out of a big, huge tree log. And I just one time, I was just flabbergasted how they could take a chainsaw and make such a incredible image. And so I asked one time, I said, how do you do that? And this was the answer I got. He said, oh, it's real simple. I just take a log and take my chainsaw and cut away everything that doesn't look like a lion. I said, okay, I don't have the imagination to do that. But God wants to take away everything that doesn't look like his son. And when he does, it hurts. So if you pray to be like Jesus, well, you're praying a prayer God already wants to answer, but it's going to hurt because he's powerful enough to mold you and make you look like Christ more and more every day. And when you start looking like him, you'll start acting like him. But, oh, I tell you, that chopping away process, that chipping away, that hurts. Mm-mm. Listen, he's powerful, the Almighty God. He is powerful enough to maintain your security. Think about that. He has got everything under control. I think one of my favorite verses is in John chapter 10, what we call the Good Shepherd chapter, where he starts in verse number 27 and says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Gnosko, I know them intimately. I just don't know of them. I know them intimately. They are mine, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The word pluck there means to catch up, to take by force, to pluck away. Not going to happen. No one's going to grab you out of his hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now, he's talking to the crowd. This is the red letters. You have a red letter Bible. He says, no man can pluck him out of my hand. No man can pluck him out of my Father's hand. Now, you think that didn't send them through over? Like, wait a minute, whose hand is he is? So the very next words out of Jesus' mouth is this. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Guess what the crowd did? Next verse. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They picked up stones because of what he just said. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Ah, see, they got the point. They understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus was claiming God and him are equal. God and him are one. They are together. I and my Father are one. And they did not like that. It bothered them. But I'm glad to tell you that he is powerful enough to take care of me, to hold me. By the way, the Psalms are full, absolutely full of the strong nature of our God. Just exactly who our God is. In fact, there are many references to the strong tower, to being under the shadow of his wings. In fact, the Bible talks about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my refuge. In other words, my shelter. He is my fortress, my stronghold. Yeah, he is my God. In him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noontime. You see, it's just incredible, the powerful God that we have, the mighty God. He is my high, most high. He's my habitation. There is nothing that can happen to me that he does not know about. He is mighty God to mend my broken heart, move mountains of problems and tribulations, to mold and make me look like Christ, to maintain in my eternal security, to meet my every need. He can meet every single need. He can do so because he is the Almighty God. He can fix all of your situations. You remember in the Gospels, he was always doing those. They had 5,000 plus that needed to eat. Jesus took care of the need. He was mighty God, and he not only took that boy's lunch of 2 loaves and 5 fish and fed the multitude. They had 12 baskets left over. It wasn't too much longer that there was 7 baskets left over after he fed another group of men. And he was able to do so just by blessing the meager portion that was there and multiplying it, because he can meet the need. Jesus healed all kinds of people. Jesus healed. In fact, he went about healing the blind and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. How about that? And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. I mean, he raised the dead, he healed the blind, he fixed the sick. What a credibleness. He is powerful enough to take care of a situation in danger. When they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, I love John's gospel version of it, because they added something that's not in the other ones, and that is because John is written from a different perspective. But it says here, and Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? This is when they came into the Garden of Gethsemane to take Jesus by force, and Peter struck off the ear, and Jesus put it back. He said, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. I'm the I am. That's how he answered that. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Just the power of the I am shook them to their core, and they fell to the ground. When they said, we are looking for Jesus. And he didn't reply, I'm Jesus. He replied, I am the I am. Moses, you tell him, I am sent you. The very I am. He can overcome when there are people trying to do what takes the out of the will of God. He can overcome. But let me tell you something else he overcame. He overcame death. They were told many, many times in the Gospels that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Boy, how about that? And I'm telling you what's the truth. He is the mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the mighty God, God's strong king, God's strong hero. I love, love, love these names. For unto us, thank you, Lord, personal. unto us a child is born, his humanity. Unto us a son is given, that is his deity. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Yep. And of that government peace there shall be no end. He'll sit upon the throne of David. We talked about that. But his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Tomorrow, Lord willing, the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. We'll deal with those two as we come closer to Christmas. May we remember the Christ of Christmas. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we pray that we will remind ourselves over and over again that you are wonderful. You are Counselor. You are Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Encourage us, and may we never lose sight of your might and power. And even now, work mightily in hearts and lives of people who have prayer requests on their hearts right now. And you know what they are. Minister in homes, lives, people, and places. And we'll thank you for it. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton in for Pastor Barton, praying you have an absolutely wonderful evening.